for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It is the FA Vars first round this weekend, and Philanets is here with his at FA Vars Factfar hat on, with more impressive stats and facts for the competition of Step 5 and Step 6 clubs. Our main guest is a former player with over 500 Southern League appearances, now operating as player-manager in Step 6 Division 1 of the Western League, leading a group of young lads to one of the best starts of any club across the pyramid so far this season. Their trip to higher-ranked opposition this weekend in the FA Vars is a shot to nothing in his eyes, with a chance for glory and certainly another great day in the story of Portishead Town as a thriving club at the very heart of the local community. Rounding off the show and helping round up the week's news, it's executive editor of the non-league paper, Mr. John Couch. There's FA Cup, FA Vars and plenty of managerial moves, as well as insight into the stories featuring in this weekend's non-league paper. So there is plenty to come. Sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. So it is that time of year where we have cup action week after week. After his insight and knowledge last week of the FA Cup, it's time to speak to our favourite stat man with his FA Vars hat on. Let's give a warm non-league football show welcome to at FA Vars Factfar, Mr. Philanets. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Yeah, always good to be back to talk about the FA Vars as much as the FA Cup. So I'm getting to love both competitions equally now.
Have you got a hat rack as you come in the front door? New front door.
Yes, a new front door. No hat rack, but yes, a new front door, which has been a long time waiting. I think ever since we moved in 25 years ago, my wife has wanted a new front door, so I finally got around to it.
Well, there's things that you have to do to keep other people happy, but it's a very, very nice front door, and it's a very nice household, the Ennets household, because you know everything about the FA Vars, don't you? It's the first round of the FA Vars this weekend. What have we got? 102 ties, so I guess that makes 204 competing sides. But it doesn't, does it? Because one side's already through to the next round.
That's right, yes. Because of Norwich United folding or closing down, they had been exempted to the first round of the Vars because of their performance in the competition last season. And so they were due to play May and Baker Eastbrook Community, who now have the fortune of already having a bye into the second round of the competition, which probably not the way they would want to do it, but which does equal their best ever FA Vars run. So it's a great season for them in the competition.
Indeed. I think 597 all told in the competition this year. Mm-hmm. And as you say, there's 30 clubs exempt to this first round proper. And there is a method to understanding who was exempted, but I gave up after about the fourth paragraph of understanding, or trying to understand how they'd all been qualified.
I think it's just simply a case for this one. If they made it as far as the third round last season, and they get exempted to the first round, and if they make it to the fourth round or beyond and are still in the Vars the following season, they get exempted to the second round. I think it is as straightforward as that, but I might be wrong.
Oh, you always make it sound straightforward, Phil. You always understand it better than the rest of us. I mean, we've already had two rounds played by some of them, but I was looking, you know, the whole structure of the FA Vars is fantastic. Another 8 games to play for those looking to make it to Wembley in the middle of May. So that shows what a feat it is to make the FA Vars final, and even more so to win it.
Well, yeah, Ascot United showed that last season, having started in the first qualifying round and then having to win through 10 rounds, including the final, in order to be crowned Vars champion. So, yes, it's definitely a mountain, but it also shows that this competition can be won by any club that takes part in it, and I think that's one of its greatest strengths.
Yeah, it is one of his great threats. But, of course, we have got, three former FA Vars winners also involved in this round?
We do, yes. The multiple winners, Whitley Bay, are still standing and they take on Bottisford Town. We do also have Wickham, who won the title as well, who travel to Aston Town. And then finally, we've got Arlesey Town, who host Amesbury Rovers in what will also be Amesbury Rovers' first ever match against a club beginning with letter A, despite having already played 78 FA Vars matches in the past.
That's the sort of stat that we love from you, Phil. Is it? I'm not sure anybody else preparing previews would go to that depth of understanding the alphabet, let alone the sides that played against each other. Of course, it's also, you know, looking through those names, there's a number of clubs as well that have had final appearances, not quite got their hands on the trophy. West Auckland Town, one of those I can see, and Tunbridge Wells as well, who are also one of the two sides from the FA Vars 50 club that we spoke about earlier on in the season.
That's right, yes. So Tunbridge Wells are former finalists and are part of the seven clubs originally who have been involved in every single one of the FA Vars competitions over its 50 years. And they travel to Little Common in the next round. But with the other two sides that are there, you've got Sutton and Walden Town, who didn't quite play in all 50, but they did enter all 50, and they're hosting Long Melford. And the third one, which actually was because thanks to a reprieve, is Brockenhurst, who host Tuffley Rovers, having got through on the back of, I think, their opponents being disqualified through an ineligible player.
They need to change that, don't they? The ineligible player, because it's too difficult to say.
It's very hard to say.
Unfortunately, we all, you know, say it week in, week out. I spoke to a secretary last week saying it's the hardest job in football, and you wouldn't want to wish that on your worst enemy, would you? Being thrown out of the competition because of maybe a little bit of an administrative error, particularly when it's so difficult to sometimes check this information.
Yeah, it is, yeah, and it's very harsh. I don't think the punishment fits the crime, personally. But the FA have got their rules, and that's the way they work, regardless of where the error may have fallen. If it happens, then most times they discard the club and let the other team through. Yeah. It's compounded when it happened in a previous round, and I don't know how they decide who goes through then when it's happened in the first qualifying, but they're already into the first round, so... Yeah, it's not pleasant for clubs, but I guess everyone knows the rules, and unfortunately, some people suffer because of it.
Mm. Well, there's always history made in almost every round of the FA Vars, particularly this time around. We've got debutants to the competition this year. I've seen the Stockport Georgians; they're at home to Drawson, but we've also got lots of clubs set to go progress further than they ever have in the competition. And it's great to see that there's a number of all Step 6 ties. That means that we're going to have a group of Step 6 sides into the next round.
Yeah, that's right. So there's about 49 Step 6 clubs still involved, and at least 9 that will be guaranteed to be in the second round, which is fantastic. Obviously, it's great that we see both levels of the FA Vars do well in the competition. And to be certain there's going to be 9, but I'm sure there'll be many shocks over the weekend to increase that number.
Yeah, and of course, we love a bit of revenge. We always love a bit of revenge on this show. There's a few clubs that have been drawn against each other once again to avenge those previous defeats. One that jumped out for me, Abbey Hay at home to Runcorn Town. I think that was just an 8 year ago a difference. But there's one where the time difference has been even longer. And I'd imagine there's a few people that are going to be at that game that were at that previous game as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of ties actually that have got more than 15 years since their last happened in the Vars. I think when you're referring to the Allerton, the Burnham Rovers, who've had to wait 17 years to avenge a 2-1 defeat to Parkgate. But there's also Portishead Town, who 15 years ago lost 6-1 at Saltash United. So not only have they had to wait a long time, but it's quite a big defeat that they need to try and put right this weekend.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll be putting that question to the Portishead Town manager a little bit later. A very experienced manager, I'm sure he's already picked up on all of your stats and facts, Phil. Of course, like our life, you know, on this show is all about reporting ups and downs in this competition and other competitions. Probably more than most ups and downs, though, in the Hill Derby.
Yeah, so Hilltop are taking on Knaphill. So the Hill Derby, as it is. I think they had a Hill Derby in the FA Cup as well this season, so it's getting to be a bit of a trend for them.
And it, I mean, it's a comment on my age of life. You know, when I get to the top of the hill, I need a nap. That's
yeah, it's very good.
Obviously, we've got lots of over 100 ties, but I like the fact that it's a weekend packed of football across the country, all the way across the country. We've got Friday evening games. Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock and a 3 o'clock kickoff. Saturday evening too, as well as one on a Sunday.
Yeah, so it all kicks off, doesn't it, on Friday night with Hinkley hosting Stone Old Alanians. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then you're right, you've got a 2 o'clock kickoff, Crawley Down, Gatwick hosting Midhurst and Eastbourne. And then there's even, as you said, a Saturday evening game. Which is quite unusual, but you've got St Pantaleimon hosting one of the clubs in their first ever FA Vasa run, Heacham. And then finally on Sunday, Dunstable Town host Woodford Town to round off what is a 101 game weekend.
And what a fantastic competition as well. Plenty of stats we've already included there, Phil. Any that we might have missed out that you might need to remind us of?
Yeah, I think my favourite stat of the round is if Virginia Water can defeat Woodley United. Now, the winner of that tie, or in Woodley's case, would set a new run, but Virginia Water would equal their best run for the second round. But it's actually 48 years since they last appeared in the second round of the Vars, which is a long time, but also would set a new competition record should they go to do it at the weekend.
It's probably about the same time scale since I last went to Virginia Water, so we are maybe a trip back there. Before I let you go, Phil, where can people find out the full depth of your stats and facts and follow you on social media?
Yes, I cover all of the ties, or as many as I can anyway, on Twitter at FAVarsFactFar. I've done a tie-by-tie facts and stats for, I think, about 70% of the ties that are happening this weekend, so hopefully you'll find something of interest in there.
As ever, thank you very much. Phil Annette at FA Vars Fact File. Have a great weekend and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Ken. Look forward to that.
So, as Phil Annette mentioned, one of those clubs looking to avenge a previous defeat in the FA Vars by their weekend's opposition has had to wait some 15 years. Back then, Saltash United won 6-1 against Portishead Town. But as a Step 6 side prepare to travel to their Step 5 opposition, given this season's form of the two sides, it could be the Step 5's Cornish side with more to fear. Let's find out why, and welcome to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Portishead Town, Kai Mountford. Welcome, Kai.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to get you on. First off, were you aware of that previous defeat in the FA Vars by Saltash?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately, no. I know it's our... You've probably got better stats than me in your job, but I think it's our highest ever...
Yeah.
So I didn't even know that, to be fair. I mean, I should do more homework.
I'm sure you've been doing plenty of homework, because I mentioned that form. Now, Saltash, they're hovering near the bottom of the Toolstation Western League Premier Division. I think 2 wins in 12 in the league, and they're coming to play, or you're going to play them on the back of a draw and 2 defeats since they won in this last round of the competition. But you guys, you're flying top of the Western League Division 1 and across steps 1-6 of the non-league game. I think your third best goal difference with 44 goals, positive goal difference, the third best home goals scored with 17 goals, and fourth across steps 1-6 in the pyramid in all goals scored in the league, 56 in 18 games. Of course, that's the league and this is the Vars, but I mean, preparations couldn't be much better than this, can they?
No, we're going well. We're going well. We're only in October, so it's you don't win anything in October, the cliche shout. But yeah, we're doing as the players, sorry, are doing their jobs at the moment. So, but it is a really, really hard game for us down there. So they were unlucky last week against Buckland. I sent one of my little spotties down to watch the game. And at the last minute, they only lost a really strong Buckland team. So the last couple of weeks have they really picked up and signed a few more and so on. So, hey, we're very much underdogs, and they're a real top team, even though probably the form table doesn't do that at the moment. But they will pick up on their performances, I'm sure of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those classic cup ties, isn't it? You need to be on the top of your game, and you need them maybe just a little bit off theirs.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, you got it spot on, Tim. It's I've said to the paper this morning, it's a bit of a free one to us, really. No one expects us to go down there and win anything. If you look at it, Solash 2-3-0, everyone would sort of go to the next result. So it's quite nice, really, because we've been doing really well in the league. Everyone sort of who we've been facing lately, managing to be top of league, is we're always expected to win games now. Yeah. So it's for us, it's a bit of a change, man. We're all looking forward to it, really, and not a bit of fun, because obviously we've got to win the game, but me and my players is a free one. It's a relaxed one. It's the young lads get another go, and I think six of my players never even played in the FA Vols. So it's a perfect game for them, and like I said, we're going down to win, like, to win the game, obviously. But like I said, is more of a day for everyone, but we know we're in for, like you just said, we have to be the best form of us, and hope they have a wobble to get anything. But it's a great day for the club, and we've got a couple of coaches going down. So yeah, so it's a real, hopefully, I could be ringing you again at 5 o'clock on a different story, but it hopefully will be a good opportunity for the lads to show against, and for the lads to obviously in this year or next year, the club, we want to progress to play the likes of Solash on a weekly basis. Yeah. So I'm intrigued to see how far we're off or how far we're not so far. So yeah, so it's a good top. Yeah, I wish it would be closer.
but are those sort of days out, because I'll come to sort of the way you've built your team having come in the summer, but a day out on the coach can probably do wonders for that team spirit, which is already electric.
Yeah, they probably have too much of a good time together, Tim, if I'm being too honest. It does. And like I said, this year, with the help of all the people who run the club, the support has been amazing. Mm. So we've sold the coach out, I think it was a couple of days. So it'll be good for local people, Portishead, to come down and have a day out with us as well. It's like I said, it's a real good tie for us, for us to play in. But like I said, I think we're in for a real hard day, mate.
Winners always have to do it the hard way. I mean, I said you were flying, but that you've mentioned as well the hard work of people off the field, because you're flying on and off the field. I know there's some great work being done by numerous people to put the club on the map, both locally and beyond as well. Yeah, Nigel Osman, your facilities manager, has got as many hats as I have, I think, at Hayes and Yedding. One of those helping you ramp up. You've got the new community facilities pitch on the way. Local people appear to be embracing your club. You've mentioned selling out a coach, but last Saturday you had a league record attendance for you guys. You had 461 at a step six game against bottom of the table opposition.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like I said, Nigel, who you mentioned, I ran out of my jobs, like you said. He has. He's amazing, and all the volunteers and all the things, and they've done a online called Pack Deposit with the international break. So we can grab the Bristol City fans and Bristol Rovers fans and all the juniors, Neil Smith, the guy who invented it, and the whole town came out. Yeah, it was amazing to be a part of, really, and we managed to win the game quite convincingly. So the juniors managed to see a few goals, and it was a good day all round that many people in our little town have been talking about. So
You mentioned the junior teams. So what was it? It's something like 45 junior teams, 3 women's teams, multiple men's teams. It's clearly a community that's embraced the club.
It It has, yeah. And it was always, like I said, I've only just coming in the summer, but our average attendance last year was about 30. So it shows you what sort of transformation. My daughters play in the same juniors, Portland Z teams. And it was a plan of ours off the pitch with all the many people that if we can sort of incorporate the two of them, the juniors and the first team, to sort of say, like look, you've got, I know, Bristol City, Bristol Rovers is a much better standard and a much better game, and we're not going to say that, but if they're away, like, come and get behind your local town. And I got to say, it's sort of when we've sort of the idea of it, you've obviously got to get people through the door. But
it's easier said than done. It is.
100%, yeah. And they've all come out. And obviously, like I said, you said Nigel, he's our local celebrity around here. So if he says you do something, they usually do it. And he, like I said, is to get... We weren't sure on the morning last, because the weather wasn't great last Saturday. So there's always... I think if we can get to, because we've been averaging sort of 200 at home this season anyway, which again is more than anyone in our league, in our Toolstation league. So we always thought we could do it, but it's not until you actually walk out and see all the familiar faces. And it was, like I said, it was a real good day, and we managed to. Yeah, it was a bit. We only scored 1-0 up at half time, and I was like thinking, "Oh no, it could be. I'm going to ruin everyone's day here." I think so. But no, we managed to come strong, and like I said, But that's not down to me. That's down to everyone and actually
that's,
the people.
That's not down to you, is it? But getting those local people off the field involved. But what is down to you? As you say, you came in over the summer, Eamon Daly moving to head of senior football at the club, and immediately you're a local yourself and you brought in local lads. Was that always your intention?
Yeah, my only intention. I'm lucky enough to know the lads at different clubs in from Portishead. And I, lucky enough to play at not a bad standard, and sort of this is sort of the lowest I've been in. And I couldn't, I couldn't understand why Portishead Juniors were huge and such a town is growing by the day, that all sort of the best players went to play for our local rivals, Clevedon's. So my aim was to always, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to get Portishead lads back playing for Portishead. And lucky enough, they I've managed to convince them to come along with us, and like I said, we made 10 new signings. Well, I think there's only three lads who don't live in Portishead.
Wow.
Out of the 18 squad. So it's amazing.
And that record attendance last weekend, it ended up a 6-0 win, made it, I think, 16 league games unbeaten. But you were without two of your stars of the season, your skipper Mitch Osman and Ethan Taz Feltham.
You call him the Tasmanian devil. Yeah, he can go off on one when it's probably not worth at any given moment. Yeah, so we that is just unfortunate. His nickname for life now.
But so you achieved that, and you also, I think, you gave a 17-year-old Jack Packham a debut from the bench as well. I mean, the future looks good.
It's we had he was one of three 17-year-olds playing or off the bench. So all Portishead again. It is all for the juniors in the amazing junior section, I must add. So I if they're good enough and they show me, I'll give them, I want to show that under 18s are doing really well at the moment in their league. So I want to reward as many players, and like I said, there's if they can find a good crowd and play and they want to stay and fulfill their football up the steps many higher, hopefully some of them, and we can push them on.
Because I keep up to date with having family locally and the great Western League podcast by old friend of the show, Ian Knockolds. And locally down there in North Somerset, it's a bit of a hotbed of non-league football at the moment, isn't it? You've got Clevedon Town and Ousley and Tickenham in the division above. Is that because there's a wealth of seriously talented coaches, or is it the growing local population? Is that, or is it a combination of two?
The sort of academies here, and like I said, like you know, with your family is the growing. Everyone sort of Port Said's got huge, especially since I've been here, and the amount of people and teams and all the juniors team. They're all and Cleveland, North Somerset Academy and stuff like that.
So do you work closely with the senior sides, like you've spoken about the two Bristol clubs and that, or is it just non-league really is in charge down there?
Yeah. Like I said, we do. I have a lot of friends who are coaches in the juniors at Bristol City and the many good academies around here. So, yeah, we always have good links with everyone. And my brother-in-law is actually assistant manager at Weston, Scott Rogers. So we speak to them and obviously any sort of younger lads that are about and doing stuff. So it's, so there is a lot of good... A lot of good, great academies around, and like I said, very, very good coaches. So we're very lucky.
Yeah, and you, as you've already mentioned, you're no stranger to the non-league game. You've got over 500 appearances as a player in the Southern League at Tiverton, Yate, Poulton Rovers, Clevedon, plus managerial stints at Bitton and Poulton. Can Portishead Town make the rise up the pyramid to emulate those clubs?
I certainly hope so. Yeah, that's the aim. However far it may be off, is that was always the aim from taking the club as far as we can take it. Obviously, with the new facilities starting in May, it will give us a boost. And obviously, if we're doing well and getting the crowds like we have, then it will do us the utmost, obviously, going forward. But it was... Like I said, like I think you said earlier in the talk, is we set these plans out and like I'm very ambitious, obviously, because I want to get Portishead to where I've played and get the club. But it is all right talking about a plan until actually
best laid plans and all that. There's always someone trying to scupper you or something. The managers I've spoken to in recent years that have been scuppered by COVID when they were top of the league and then it's all fallen apart. But you just got to stay positive, haven't you? And obviously, your guys are going to be buzzing and sensing a chance for a Premier scalp. How are you going to temper that with them so they don't get overexcited in a game like this?
We're just going to, like I said, I'm very much each game and like I said, we'll give them the respect they deserve. But like I said, our lads will be. They're I'm very lucky. Like I said, they're a good bunch. They sort of marshal each other and they know what I expect. I'm very demanding. If you ever spoke to any of them when you're down next, they have a bit of a sergeant major sort of like. I think I'm ready to sort of bring down any sort of parade or happiness they show at the moment in October. So, like I said, I want them to go and enjoy themselves. Like you just mentioned, we've got 4 17-year-olds in the squad Saturday going down for. I think 4 of them don't know what the FA Vols is, so it's amazing. It is real. I'm lucky enough to play in that and the trophy, and they're great days. The days that you know and coming to an end. Yeah. They're days that you'll always remember. So I'll tell them to do their job and go out and express themselves and enjoy themselves. And that's our main. As stupid and simple as it sounds, there's probably coaches listening to this going head in their hands. But I want, as a player still myself, I still go out and the old point in football is to go out and enjoy yourself. If you're not enjoying it, then it's obviously there's added pressure in the higher levels you go up and stuff like that. But when you get on there and on the pitch, I don't want my young lads to think they can't do this or can't do that. And, I want to go and express yourself and enjoy being on the pitch because anything can happen.
Yeah, and you went to Bristol Telephones in a previous round, beat them on penalties, 5-4 was an hour for a 2-2 finish. So with a very young side, that probably says much about the confidence within them and desire to succeed.
Yeah. They, again, it was a real hard game for us that game, and I because of obviously the league we play in, I think we played 2 FA Vases games before this one.
Yeah.
One against penalties. I think we played 18 league games. Somerset Cup. It's relentless. This league is we've played so many games. We've only trained twice from the start of the season.
Are you down to videos, WhatsApps, and everything like that then to keep them on track?
Yes, definitely. Lucky enough, my coaches, Eamon, you mentioned, Dave Hewitt, Sam Bendel-Weeks, we all sort of send stuff to the lads and try and keep them fit, or even like this evening, we'll get together and just do a VO session. Just a light jog and stuff like that, because obviously the games we've played in such a small squad with the small budget we have and young lads, it's just been relentless. We've got obviously Knox and, like you said, the two you mentioned, and just sort of there's no recovery at the moment. But like I said, it's good for them. Like I said, they're a lot younger than me, sort of recovery comes easier for them.
They bounce back quicker. No, I know that feeling. And just to emphasise that the heart of the community that the club is, Saturday night back at the clubhouse at Portishead, there's an 80s tribute band night. Is it all back from Cornwall straight onto the dance floor, win, lose or draw?
Yes, it is. Yes. All the coach back into there. But back to it. And like I said, is the people of Portishead and all the events going on down there is real, become the hub of the town now, to be pretty fun.
Having done this job for, 17, 18 years now, every club, the manager, chairman, whoever I speak to, the successful ones are like a family. And that's what it sounds like you guys are.
Yeah. We like any family, there's a few dysfunctional ones, but we have them as well, mainly Nigel. You're totally right. But I think that all comes from having the Portishead lads, because it does, not that it's easier, but it means more to them. So and I've got, like I said, I'm lucky that the group I have, like I said, very, very young, extremely young, but they do care and they are sort of in it together. And like I said, whether the season pans out or whatever happens, or with a game rest of the season, I think they will stick together. I hope they will, and will take the club where it belongs, I think.
Well, Kai Manford, I've already taken up far too much of your time. I'll let you go and finish the preparations for the trip to Saltash. I wish Portishead Town and yourself best of luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll speak to you again later on before the season ends.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Top man. Thank you, mate.
So time once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, wet. It's partly rain, partly washing machine blockages. But so that's another story for another evening. Looking at the weather out there, there's puddles on my driveway across the garden. It's not going to be one of those great days to watch non-league football at the weekend.
No, it's not. I'm looking out my window in the West Midlands as we speak, and it's pretty, pretty bleak. I've already been on Twitter and seen one Vars game, which has got a pitch inspection on tomorrow, Friday, and that's at Atherton, Laburnum Rovers, and I don't think they'll be the only ones. I think there's going to be a few this week. There's some pretty hefty weather warnings out there, and we've been quite lucky so far. It has to be said so far this season in terms of the weather, but I think it's starting to turn, and Saturdays could become a little bit more complicated for us, I think, in non-league towers. So we're looking forward to that.
In non-league towns and for non-league fans up and down the land as well. I've still yet to find a suitable umbrella to watch non-league games in. You know, maybe one or two games you get out of them, and then they're in their inside out. A proper waterproof coat, I don't know. After a while, it tends to come through, doesn't it? Yeah, maybe there must be some entrepreneurs out there. Can we get someone making proper non-league football fan gear?
The non-league brolly, that's what we need, isn't it? Yeah, I've got. You mentioned sort of like some of these places, sort of gearing up to non-league football. So sort of mine goes back to many occasions where I've been sat on the top of a rickety old iron stand, freezing, and well, at least I'm dry. So yeah, if we can find the ultimate football fans,
we should probably have a round of applause now for all those videographers that are going to stand on top of bits of scaffolding with, you know, ripped up bin liners over their head and over their camera, just so that they can capture all the action this weekend.
Poor photographers as well that have to sit on the side of the pitch, just sort of cowering and trying to keep their camera dry as well. Yeah, I feel for them every time. It's not a job I would like too much.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, maybe we might lose FA Vars games. We've got the first round. What have we got? 102 ties effectively in the draw. We spoke with Phil Annette earlier, Portishead Town gaffer as well. What a competition it is. You know, there's still 8 games to play before they make it to Wembley, and we know what a magical day that always is for the clubs that do make Wembley.
Yeah, it's fantastic competition, isn't it? It's a competition really where sort of dreams are made of, isn't it? It's very, very small clubs, and they might not ever get that chance again. But if you can string together a few wins, and all of a sudden, sort of people can start dreaming. We've seen 6 teams over the last few years make it all the way to the quarterfinals, just 2 games away from the ultimate dream of any young football fan playing at Wembley. And the Vars final was always a great occasion. And you know what? Sometimes you don't even have to win it to enjoy that occasion. Just to play at Wembley is something that all of the players, both on the winning team and the losing team, can say that they've done. It's a box ticked, and their families, etc. You know, that pride never goes away. It's just getting to Wembley is just an absolute dream. And in the Vars, it's where dreams come true.
Indeed, but the bigger dreams for those that are still left in the FA Cup. I mentioned earlier that this time of year it's one cup after another, isn't it? And last weekend we had a treat of a weekend in the FA Cup, a fantastic draw for the first round proper as well, and some big upsets on Saturday, and also in the replays this week. It's already shaping up to be one of the most exciting FA Cup competitions, I think, in recent years.
Do you know what it is? It is, and I wasn't. I'll be honest. I wasn't actually enamoured by the draw last time.
Yeah, last round seemed a little bit. Clubs have to get through. Then this one, there's various debates on social media as to what should be on TV and that sort of thing. But what have you got? Bromley, Blackpool, obviously Sheppey United against Walsall. You got the great game of Cray Valley Paper Mills having to make that very short trip down to the Valley at Charlton. I'm sure that's probably more for a day out, so probably won't get the TV. But there's some stories building. The Sheppey United one there, winning a penalty shootout midweek against Billericay Town this week, and I think they only equalised in the 85th minute in that game as well.
That's right. I mean, it was a fantastic weekend. To say I wasn't too enamoured by the fourth qualifying round draw, but actually it turned out to be a lot better than probably the usual sort of fans would expect. There was plenty of shocks. I think 10 National League teams going out, that's almost half the division going out at the fourth qualifying stage. That's never been done before, I don't think. And so we had where we had four teams from the same league going through into the first round. Ramsgate, obviously, tremendous performance from them. Cray Valley, I mean, what a dream draw that is for them. If you'd have said to them, you know, what would be your number one pick, your dream draw, that Charlton Athletic would have been the first one that they would have picked. So, you know, that's basically what FA Cup is all about. And I've just come off the phone to Ernie Batten, who's the manager of Sheppey United. Obviously, we were talking about their victory over Billericay Town and the FA Cup. The Isle of Sheppey is absolutely buzzing at the moment for the FA Cup. They've got a lovely home draw against Walsall, and I think I can say that that game is by Friday night. That's that is a television. It might be a little exclusive there, but it is on a Friday night, and Walsall will not fancy that at all, will they?
in the past, in my younger days, I've tried to get to the Isle of Sheppey on a Friday evening. You're tired by the time you get there.
That's right. I've never actually been, I must admit, but I mean, I did a bit of research before I spoke to Ernie, and it sounds like a fantastic place. Obviously, not steeped in football history, shall we say, but this is their big day, and as I say, they're all buzzing. There was 1,235 people, I think, went to the Billericay game. Not quite a club record, but they're going to be breaking club records against Walsall. They were turning people away on Tuesday night because they just couldn't fit any more in. So with a chance to get to do a little bit of homework and make provisions for the TV cameras that they've got it all to do, but they're already underway, and they can't wait. The visit of Walsall themselves have got a bit of steep history in the FA Cup over the years, and as I said earlier, they're not going to fancy that at all on a cold November night on the Isle of Sheppey with the TV cameras just waiting for a shock. As Ernie said, anything can happen on the day, and yes, it's certainly one for the FA Cup purists, isn't it?
Yeah, very very exciting. And now, last week, of course, when I spoke with Matt Badcock, I said it'd been a fairly quiet week on the managerial merry-go-round. But I said there was at least one big announcement that was still to come. Then Friday comes around, and it all went rather mental. The big one that I was expecting, Mickey Mellon, back on in non-league at Oldham Athletic. And, I mean, that's a great appointment, whatever the club. But I think it's perfect for Oldham when they've found their feet in non-league already, but they now just need that little bit of guidance from someone that knows how to do it.
Yeah, excellent appointment. I mean, it's someone who knows the level and the level above. It's Mickey Mellon. Obviously, been there, done that with a number of clubs. Tranmere Rovers being the most recent at International League. Well, Oldham really got their man. Feel a little bit of sympathy for Steve Thompson. I had a nice chat with Steve at Solihull, and he's his caretaker time in charge. They were unbeaten, but just too many draws, I think, in there. Really, it stuttered what looked like being a promising run, but they're still more than holding their own. And I think with Mickey Mellon in charge, that's a bit of a statement of intent, I think. And with that fan base behind them, and a man like Mickey Mellon at the helm, I think I think they could certainly give a few people a scare or two, I think.
Yeah, and also, you know, saying that it had been quiet and then everything goes mad on the Friday. I then saw that Dave Diper is leaving the dugout at Sholing after, 25 years, 1,200 games, or over 1,200 games. A big loss to non-league football and to Sholing. He's sticking around. He'll still be there at the club. But if you're going to make a change, there's few better than Paul Doswell, is there, to come in? I think we all know he's likely to have an impact on and off the field.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that one was that really threw us. Dave Dyfer, 25 years is an incredible amount at one club. He's a proper club legend, and it's fantastic, really, that he's not really going away. He's just sort of moving upstairs. So he'll always have his eyes on things, and his legendary status will remain intact. I say Paul Dosmer, that what a guy to have on board. Obviously, Sutton United, you know, for everything he did at Sutton, and then didn't quite work out for him at Hampton. He was there or thereabouts. I think he just missed out on a playoffs, didn't he? It just didn't quite sit for him. But now he's got a real opportunity now, and at a club I think where he will be very respected. The opportunity for him to dip his toes into Southern League waters and get back to where he belongs. So, because he's a manager, Paul Dyfer. I must admit, I didn't really have him with the fit of Scholing, but he's there now. Obviously,
he's local, and I remember years back when he was at Eastleigh. I think he approached Dave Dyfer to take him on as part of his coaching team. So there's obviously been long discussions and sort of keeping that alive, and it's great. You've got two of the biggest minds in non-league football together.
That's what, and I think they know each other pretty well, don't they? From days gone by, and Dave told us last week that there was no one he would rather have sat in the Scholing hot seat than Paul does well, and that just about tells you what you need to know about the relationship that they have got together. And good luck to him. I mean, Scholing have certainly got a top manager there.
Yeah, and also in the Southern Premier South, another legend of the club, Martin Rogers, departing from Tiverton Town. There must be one of those sun faded marks on the floor there. He'd been there so long, and we mentioned Chris Nunn departed from AFC Russian and Diamonds last week, but then he immediately appears back at Histon as well. It's like the merry-go-round had a new operator.
That's right. I mean, Martin Rogers, again, that was another one that took us by surprise a little bit, sort of late on, really. But just as we were starting to think about putting the paper to bed, so we had to make a late change. Again, another club legend. I think he's done three different spells there, one of which with his nephew Scott. And he's been keeping the club afloat, hasn't he, at step three for a long time, almost sort of single-handedly. I think it's just another reminder, really, just what managing a club at any level, whether it be from step one to step five or six, just what it takes out of a person. I was speaking to Mark Molesley, who was just taken over at your club, Tim Hayes, and he was telling me that it's like just how much managing a football club. He was sort of trying to explain just how much it takes out of you emotionally and physically as well. Obviously, you have to go to games, but the phone going all the time and all the pressures and etc. It's tough. It's very, very tough. And if you can do 25 years of that, like Dave Dyfer has done at Scholing, or 20 years of that, like Martin Rogers has done at Tiverton, it does take its toll on you. And anyone who goes into management, I've got utmost respect for. But that sort of period of time, that's incredible.
But we still get people going into it. We also saw the change at Skelmersdale United with former Wigan and Spurs player Pascal Chimbonda taking over the reins there.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, wasn't it? Pascal Chimbonda, I remember watching him playing for Tottenham and Wigan. I know. Since he's retired, he did play up until I think he was in late 30s, maybe even early 40s. I know he was dabbling a little bit in the Northern League, wasn't he? But, all of a sudden he's turned up at Skelmersdale. Good luck with him. He's got a really tough job there. Skelmersdale are right at the foot of the table now. I think they're 10 points adrift of safety. So a little bit of a free hit for him, maybe. It's a tough task to try and get your team out of a hole like that. But, yeah, I mean, he's clearly keen enough. It's slightly unusual to see a former Premier League player who's enjoyed such heights as a player in at step five or step six. But Pascal's obviously enjoying life at that level. And yeah, good luck to him. And it'll be interesting to see how he fares, because he's certainly got a very tough job on his hands there at Scalbersdale.
Yeah, and obviously then this week we've also seen what Carl Marginson, formerly of FC United, take on the vacant spot at Trafford that we spoke about last week. We've got former Sudbury boss Rick Andrews, he's come in at Stanway Rovers, and Barnstaple Town boss Craig Laird has departed to join Oddland Abertonians in what appeared a rather strange move in a tough week for all of the club. And we also saw old friends of the show Paul Barnes being shown the door again, this time at Hastings United. And at Haywards Heath, Jay Lovett has departed as well. Is it just that time of year and boards want to make an impact before the Christmas run comes in?
Yeah, I think so. They do say it's after 10 games, and then let's have a look at it. I think Eastman are a few games behind the National League in that respect. So yeah, the knock-on effect has come down into step three and four sort of levels. Jay Lovett, yeah, disappointed to see him going, but they really do chop and change, don't they? They're those clubs at that level, and it's difficult to get some kind of momentum at times when managers don't often get as much time as they want. It's a bit frustrating, really, at times. Again, sympathies for Paul Barnes. It's not quite worked out for him. They had a great start, didn't they, Hastings? Mm-hmm. I think they were unbeaten in the first eight games. They were hanging around the top six. Things looked great, and then they just had a bit of wobble. Five defeats in six, I think it was, and all of a sudden he's gone. You think after 5 months, and you know, a little bit disappointed. I would have liked to have seen, a little bit more loyalty in that particular occasion equation. But again, as you say, it's the pressures of the game. People are quick to press the panic button because they want their club to enjoy success. And now's about the right time to make a change if you're not totally happy with what's going on. And I think we're going to see a few more now every few weeks up in the build up to Christmas, and then a few more after that. I think a few more New Year changes. I think it's just the way of the world, but it's the perils of being a football manager, I think. But they're all used to it, and they all seem to bounce back, don't they?
It is the football world, isn't it? Because we also saw old friend of the show, Graham Alexander, departing further up from the Football League from MK Dons. And then the biggest news of the week, Mike Williamson getting a much-deserved move from Gateshead into the Football League to take on that vacant role at MK Dons. And, you know, the loyalty that Mike's seen, and I think we've both said in the past, he's probably the nicest man in football. You wish him all the best. It's probably going to be a fairly difficult job, but a great one to take on.
Yeah, again, what a job Mike's done. He took on a Gateshead side that had just been demoted into the International League North, and I don't think he even had any bells on his book, so he literally had to build a squad from nothing. And brought them up through the National League North into the top flight. Struggled to tread water maybe at times, but now they find themselves in the top 10 and absolutely flying at the moment. I think they're the top scorers, aren't they? In the National League, they've had a fantastic time of it, and it was no surprise really that a big club, sorry, no disrespect to Gateshead, but a Football League club would come calling. NK Dons, obviously, not a big stadium, not so much in the way of history, but they've certainly got they've certainly got some stature there, and I think they've got a really good man in Mike Williamson, obviously a former Premier League player himself. He knows the big stage, but as you say, he's such a very humble guy to go with it. I met him after the FA Trophy final last year, and found him to be really, really fantastic, really, with everyone around him. He was a great guy to come across, and I know everyone at Gateshead has the utmost respect for him, and we'll wish him every single success.
Yeah, and hopefully, Nick, again, another one of those managers that, I'm sure you're like me, we do stay in contact with all these managers that go through. It's great to see, every now and then you watch the Football League coverage or something like that, and you see managers that we've all dealt with, and they properly earned their spurs at non-league level, and then have gone on and just seem to be, just calmer as managers. The managers that go from non-league up into the Football League just seem to be calmer.
They do, don't they? Yeah, that's right. It just seems to be like a different environment, which is quite strange because the pressure is just the same. Whether you come from Premiership, League One, League Two, National League, or even third, the pressure of being a football manager is always very, very tough to bear. But you're right. I think non-league does give you that little calmer element, doesn't it? It helps you prepare for the big stage with with a more respectful kind of edge, if you like.
But I guess the National League, particularly if you come from the National League, it's such a big league now. It's sort of you maybe played in front of bigger crowds than you're going to get in the Football League. I mean, we've got, after the FA Cup last weekend, we've got back to league action in the National League this weekend, and you've got Leaders Chesterfield. They're hosting Gateshead. I think Rob Elliott and Louis Story and Carl Magne are sort of taking charge in that one. Maybe that's the start of their own managerial careers.
Could well be. I mean, Rob Elliott in the list of front runners, really, to succeed Mike Williamson. He's as the interim manager, he's probably the favourite, and this is an excellent opportunity for him to make a name for himself. I mean, if you can go to Chesterfield and get a good result there, then that's probably going to put him in a good stead. But at the same time, there's some really big names that will be that will fancy their chances. Kevin Phillips is obviously another one who's northeastern roots, and Graham Fenton, of course, who's performed at the highest level, but has sort of cut his cloth as a manager in non-league. So there's plenty of people that will fancy that job. But at the moment, it's Rob Elliott, and it's his opportunity now to really make a name for himself. And what a better time to do it at Chesterfield on Saturday.
Yeah, and also this weekend in the National League, we've got second place Barnet entertaining Maidenhead United. But surely, yeah, they're going to have half an eye on Tuesday's game at the Hive when they host third place Solihull Moors.
Yes, massive game. Barnet been going great guns, haven't they? They sort of go about their business very quietly. That's very Dean Brennan. Obviously, had a disappointment of probably on Saturday. I don't think Dean would have fancied a replay on Tuesday night, especially after being 2-0 up. But playing against a team who finished with 9 men, I'm sure he's had better days, but they went about doing the job professionally on Tuesday night. Nice, easy 4-0 win. Great hat trick for Nicky. Maidenhead are always difficult to beat, aren't they? But if they can put one over Maidenhead, and that will stand them in good stead for Solihull Moors, whose unbeaten record's gone. With all the shot producing excellent win, didn't they, last week? But Solihull, again, they're a team very well managed by Anthony, and they'll be fancying their chances of sticking in there about on Chesterfield's tail, and that Barnet Solihull game will be pretty interesting to see how that fares.
Yeah, other news this week, the fact that the South Shields is to be put up for sale. Chairman Jeff Thompson has had his own health concerns in recent months and now looking to sell the club for somebody else to take it into the next chapter. It's already been quite a ride for the club, and I'd imagine there'll be quite a few bidders wanting to take that on to the next level.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, a real sleeping giant. I mean, Jeff Thompson's taken them all the way from step five into step two, where they've got a nice FA Vase trophy on the cabinet as well. They're a big club at that level, excellent fan base, and unfortunately with Jeff, it's taken his toll on his health. So it's absolutely the right decision for him to make. And I was just quite impressed with the way that he made his statement. Mm. Just everything was just very, very respectful, and everyone had the utmost respect for him because of it. And I think the way the club is looking at the moment, they're sitting pretty in National League North with some real big guns. And they're a real sleeping giant in non-league football. And I think that position of Jeff's will not be one that will go vacant for long, because that's a real opportunity for someone.
Tough boots to fill, though. But away from everything else, then, we've got FA Vase League action this weekend to be brought. And I imagine some reaction to the FA Cup draw in the non-league paper this weekend. Maybe some FA Trophy previews. We've got that next week. Anything else? You've mentioned a few other stories. Anything else we can look forward to reading about this weekend?
Obviously, we're delving into the FA Cup. Sheffield United manager this week about their cup exploits. And
all hoping to find our feet this weekend and be able to keep them dry as well. And hopefully we can get a full programme of non-league football out and then read all about it in the non-league paper. John Couch, thank you once again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks ever so much. All the best.
And that then is it all for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all those involved in FA Vase action this weekend. And a big thank you to everybody for listening. You can get involved on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.